Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have to now dive into your word, to look into the pages of scripture. Guide us by your spirit. Fill us with your spirit. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we need to hear a word from you. We are living in a day and time where we need to hear from you and be encouraged by you, but also be deployed by you. So we pray, Lord, that as we hear this word, we will see where it fits in our lives and how you desire to use us here. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So we are in day number 83 of Shelter in Place here in the Bay Area. That's a long time. And not only are we still in the midst of the pandemic here in the Bay Area, I just discovered here, a couple of days ago, that the county that I live in, Alameda County, has the largest amount of cases now. And it's really interesting that we kind of started off with the lower number, and now we seem to have the higher numbers of cases of COVID-19 here in the Bay Area. I read this morning that the protests are growing globally. Tens of thousands turned out in Australia, Britain, France, Germany, and other nations in support of U.S. protests against the death of George Floyd. And some of you know what that's all about. It's been on the media, it's been on social media, and it's been on mainstream media. And they're protesting and they're joining the U.S. in that protest while denouncing racism in their own countries. And this is global, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first time that I, in my lifetime, have seen this type of solidarity, if you will, around injustice, period. First time in my lifetime. However, see, there's a lot of buzz around this too. There are a lot of people talking. I mentioned it earlier on. There's a lot of people have opinions. There's a lot of people saying things. There's a lot of people have their perspective. And many of those people are voicing their perspective on social media. Many people are voicing their perspective in face-to-face conversations as they participate in essential businesses like going to grocery stores and others. And then many people at higher levels are voicing their opinions through the mainstream media, through the news media, and through the print media. And so there's a lot of voices. And so I'm going to conclude today. This is the final sermon on trusting God in times of trouble. And we're concluding 7 ways to determine if you are hearing from God. Because see, with all of those voices sounding, and they're constant, by the way. I mean, we live in a day and age where we get news 24/7. You can turn on that television or access your smart device or computer, and you will have news, just the constant barrage of news. And so we need to know, how can I filter through that to hear the voice of God? See, God doesn't speak in a loud voice. He speaks in that still, small voice, and it's very difficult, or it can be very difficult, to hear God when I have so much going on and when there's so many voices that are speaking. So, 7 ways to determine if you are hearing from God. Now, what I'm going to do, this is the third installation of this particular sermon, if you will. So I'm going to just recap some of what we cover. And then today we're going to cover the last two, now number 6 and number 7, the 7 ways to determine if you are hearing from God. And number 1, the first way to determine if you are hearing from God, does it agree with the Bible? Notice that. Does it agree with the Bible? Is what you hearing, is what you hearing in agreement with what Scripture says? Can it be confirmed by Scripture? Does it corroborate Scripture? Does it align with Scripture? So number 1, does it agree with the Bible? Number 2, let's look at this. Number 2, will it make me more like Jesus? Remember, we are to be conformed into the image of Christ. See, Jesus is the standard by which we measure what we do and how we live. So will it make me more like Christ? Am I being conformed into his image? Is it causing me to bear fruit that are fruit of the Spirit? Number three, does my church family confirm it? Notice that. Does my church family confirm it? And what that means is those in my spiritual community, if I were to have a conversation and say, hey, you know what? I think the Lord is saying this, and I think the Lord is saying that, and I share that with that person, and that person can hear that and say, you know what? You're shaped like that. I believe God may be speaking to you about that. I'll pray with you on that. Or they may say, you know what? I don't know. That's brand new to you. That's a new area in your life. Now, I'm not saying God is not saying it, but I'll pray with you and let's see if God brings it to pass. You see that there? You want to partner with people, and God has given us the church, those who are born again by the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God, and he's placed us in a community so that we can have that kind of interaction. We can have that kind of dialogue. So number one, does it agree with the Bible? Number two, will it make me more like Jesus? Number three, does my church family confirm it? Number four, is it consistent with how God shaped me? In other words, remember, we discovered last time that God has given us spiritual gifts. He's given us a heart, which displays our passions, S-H-A, our abilities, P, our personality, and E, our experiences. And so he will use all of us. We don't have to become somebody else. Remember that. Nor should we try to become someone else. We should allow God to shape our hearts. And if he's telling you something that's in line with what you are capable of doing, or maybe what you're capable of seeing, and he's capable of doing through you, then you want to know that that may be the voice of God. But very rarely, if all, will he tell you to, in fact, he won't tell you to do something that he hasn't equipped you to do, that he hasn't shaped you to do. So when you understand that, you kind of know where you are, not only in the body of Christ, but where you are in the world. And let me just say this before we move on to these other points, that the way God has shaped you and your contribution to the world, it you learn that through your church. It's cultivated in your church community. But you know what? God wants us to go out and serve. He wants us to be lights in the world, not just lights in the church, but lights in the world and salt in the earth. Hallelujah. So I just want to let you know that your discipleship is gearing you. You're learning and you're developing and you're growing. God has given you gifts. You also have those abilities. You also have the experiences and your personality. All of that he's going to use to his glory. He's going to use that to his glory. So you don't have to try to be like someone else. All you have to do is be the best you can be. And that's what I would encourage you to do. Be the best you can be. So is it consistent with God, how God shaped me? Number four. Number five, and this is where we left off last time, does it concern my responsibility? Am I responsible to act on this? Is this something that God has placed in my hands to do? Is this something that he wants me to do? Now, let me just say this. There may be things that you see, and I said it last time. There may be things that you see. And the things that you see may be for you to go ahead and address. It's not for someone else. Some people say, well, you know, I saw this, or, you know, we need a this over there, or we need that to happen. You know, I'm reminded of, I have an aunt, and she happens to join us today. I have an aunt, and she saw the need in her local school in the local area for there to be a formation of a PTA kind of group. And do you know, she saw the need and she began to fill that need and became a nonprofit to make sure that that need would continue. See, sometimes when you see something, it's not for somebody else to do. Sometimes it is for you to do. So number five, does it concern my responsibility? So I'm going to recap here. Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Number two, will I be more like Jesus? Number three, does my church family confirm it? Number four, is it consistent with how God shaped me? Number five, Is it concerning my responsibility? Everybody see that there? And number six, let's move here. Number six, is it convicting rather than condemning? Is it convicting rather than condemning? And I'm going to explain the difference between the two. In fact, convict, the Greek word for convict, it is to state that someone has done something wrong with the implication that there is adequate proof of that wrong. So to convict someone, sometimes circumstances convict a person. For example, I'm so thankful that I received a communique from a pastor friend of mine. Now, I'm going to use some terminology here, but I'm only going to use the terminology so you understand the context of what I'm saying. And I hope you get this. I hope nobody takes a portion of what I say and make it not what I'm saying. But the reason I'm going to use this terminology is so that you can understand the nature of the conversations that I will be having. But I got a communique from one of my white pastors. See, I normally wouldn't say that. I just say one of my pastor friends. But the reason I'm saying that is because he was convicted in his heart. And I knew nothing about it. He reached out to me and he said, "Will, I'm sorry, man. I'm so convicted in my heart because I thought the level of racism and the level of discrimination that I'm seeing today, I thought it was done, Will. I thought it was over. And I apologize to you because I see it clearly now and I should have saw it before. So, Will, I'm sorry. Can we get together and talk?" That was a conviction of the Holy Spirit. Everybody understand what I'm saying? See, the Holy Spirit will convict, and I'll talk a little bit more about it, but he convicted my pastor friend to reach out to me and to communicate to me because my pastor friend saw the wrong that was taking place, and then he recognized a pattern of that wrong that's been taking place against, in this case, African-American, black and brown people. And he saw that, and he told me this. I'm not making it up. He told me this, and when he told me this, he and I talked. And we still have some more talks to have, by the way. And he and I talked, and he expressed his heart regarding that. And it appears to me that the Holy Spirit, based on what my pastor friend was saying, you know, he said, I just didn't see this at this level, and I want to do something about it. Hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord a hand, praise. He said, I want to do something about it. See, that's what conviction does. Conviction helps us to see the wrong, and then there's proof of the wrong, and it gives you and I an opportunity to make change, to do what's necessary as a result of that wrong. And that's what conviction is. I love what you look at John chapter 8, verse 9 with me real quick. You'll see something here now that you have the context of that. Now, let me give you the backstory, and it's going to be short backstory. Remember when the woman was taken in adultery and they brought her to Jesus, and all the folks were standing around and they were getting ready to stone her because that was what was supposed to happen during that day. What Jesus did is he stooped down and he began to write in the dirt. And we don't know what he wrote in the dirt, but somebody said something about it, because look at what it says here in John chapter 8, verse 9. Then those who heard it, being what? Convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And some of you know that the next verse he says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" Everybody see that there? So whatever Jesus wrote in the sand, praise God, that was like the sand was like the social media in that spot. Everybody got a chance to see what he wrote in the sand, right? Or in the dirt. And what he wrote in that dirt, people begin to look at that, and apparently someone said it or read it, and people begin to tip on out of there because many of us believe that it was exposing sins that they had participated in. Conviction. See, that's what conviction is, and it happens in the seat of our conscience. It really does. That's why it's good to have a good conscience, because you have a good active conscience. It's like having a good active heart or a good active liver, you know, an organ that works and it does what it needs to do for the body. So the goal of conviction is to bring awareness to the issue and with the hopes that the person will address the wrongness by correcting it. Now, let me let you know what condemn means. So condemn is to judge a person to be guilty and liable to punishment. In other words, not only have I said or I've judged you, but now I'm making sure that punishment is executed against you. That's judgment. And guess what? We are to convict, or we are motivated by the Holy Spirit through conviction and not by judgment. You know, back in the day, people used to say, get right or get left. Some of you know what I'm talking about, what that means. Repent or burn in hell. Now, that may be a true statement, but I wouldn't want to lead with that. You know what I mean? I would want to encourage someone to understand the plan of salvation for their life so that at least there's an environment that's created that will give them an opportunity to hear the gospel. But condemnation has been what has motivated many people over the years, and God doesn't condemn folks. Did you know that? I hope you know that he doesn't condemn people. In fact, we're not condemned. When you and I when Adam fell in sin and you and I were born in sin, the scripture says that when sin entered into the earth, death came upon all men because of sin. And we were all tainted with that sin. There was nothing we can do. The scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. But I'm so thankful that scripture also lets us know that there was one who came, the second Adam, who came to live and to be tested and tried as we, and then to die as the sacrifice for us. The word is called propitiation. That's a word that means Jesus was the atoning sacrifice for you and for me, because we were condemned to death. The soul that sins shall surely die. That was the condemnation. And so we were all under that condemnation. Everybody in the world, by the way, was under that condemnation. But I'm thankful that God so loved the what? World, that he gave his only begotten son. See, there it is, that whoever does what? Believes in him should not perish, should not undergo that judgment, that condemnation that we were under before. Now something has happened and has interrupted that sentence, if you will. We have been born again. We have been made alive by the Spirit of Christ, and that has interrupted that sentence. Our defense attorney, if you will, not only satisfied the judge, but it also satisfied the prosecution, because God was the prosecutor also. So here in this regard, you and I are free and we're no longer under condemnation. Hallelujah. No longer under condemnation. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to turn with me in Romans chapter 8. And I want you to turn your Bibles there, the Romans chapter 8, because you want to see this. You want to see this. Look at what it says. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 1. Look at what it says. There is therefore now what? No condemnation to those who are where? In Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Oh, did you see that? Did your heart jump for joy when you saw that? Here, we're not condemned. And those who are in Christ Jesus are those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in their heart that God the Father raised him from the dead. You believe Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was all that I need in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, in order to have a relationship with my God. It's not of works that I should boast. Nothing else I need to do other than believe and grow. Hallelujah. Believe and be discipled by the Spirit of God. So here, conviction is from God and it shows a fault, but condemnation is from the devil. Condemnation is to judge someone as guilty. See, conviction exposes with the hope that there could be possible change. Condemnation, it just exposes, it condemns, it makes guilty. And because it makes guilty, it makes the punishment, or it prepares for the punishment. I want you to ponder that for a minute. Because there's some things that are going on in society today, and believers should be shining as lights and not on thrones judging. Oh, hallelujah. Let me stop. Believers should be shining as light and shining as lights. And we'll get to that. So when you believe God is telling you something, when you believe he's saying this to you, is it convicting your heart? Is it something maybe you said? Maybe something you've done, maybe something that went on in your life, or maybe an argument you had, or maybe there's some unforgiveness. Maybe there's something that's going on in your heart. See, it's the Holy Spirit's one of his jobs to convict us. See, to expose that with the proof that it's there. Right? If you turn with me to John chapter 16, we'll see this. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict. It is he who convicts the believer. Look at what it says here in John chapter 16, verse 8. Look at what it says. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, and when he has come, meaning the Holy Spirit, Jesus is telling the disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And he says, and when he has come, he will what? Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9 says, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So you say, well, Pastor, well, what does that mean that he's convicting the world of sin because they do not believe in me? Well, those who believe in Jesus have an internal compass, if you will. Those who don't have no internal barometer. They're more so guided by what people say. They're more so guided by the culture. They're more so guided by their upbringing. They're more so guided by other things. But those who are Christ have the Holy Spirit inside, and he's our internal, or he gives us an internal barometer. Then look at verse 10. He's going to convict the world of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Everybody see that there? And what that means is the world has no external example of holiness, because Jesus at that time was going back to the Father and he was the example of holiness here on earth. And then number 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And what that means is those without Christ have no one with judicial authority. No one with a judicial authority. In other words, the God of this world is already judged. So who can stand in the place of someone without God? God is the ultimate judge, and it's the Holy Spirit's role, if you will, it's job, if you will. He's the one who convicts us. Now, let's look at this at a personal level. On a personal level, when there's sin in your life, or you have a spiritual misstep, let me just call it that, spiritual misstep, or when you knowingly do something that you know that you should not do. And by the way, you can just know that anything that's not of faith is technically sin, but some people wait to find a sin to say, okay, I don't do that, or I do that. Just let me let you know, when you do something against your conscience, oftentimes, because the Holy Spirit's conviction is this in the seat of your conscience, oftentimes it can be sin. And so let me say this, that when that happens, the Holy Spirit will convict our heart and say, you know what? I know that was wrong. I know I was wrong. In fact, there was a gentleman I was talking to here recently. He said, you know what? I have to go and apologize to my wife because we were having a conversation. And I said some things, and I thought it was okay to say, but I saw the expression on her face. I saw what I said did to her, and I didn't feel too good. See, that Holy Spirit convicting his heart. Everybody follow that? So when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we are to respond to that with repentance, apology if necessary, with making it right. See, the Holy Spirit will show you, he will show you that maybe there's an attitude that need to be addressed, or maybe there's a behavior that needs to be addressed. And the Holy Spirit will show you that with the intent that you would align to what God says about it, that you would align to His Word, that you would allow Him to work in you in that area of life. See, that's good. That's good. Some people think God is just in heaven throwing down lightning bolts. Hey, you better do right or you're going to get left. And you know, you can't wear this and you can't do this and you can't have that and you can't be that. No. Did you know that the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance? It's not Him throwing down thunderbolts or hammers out of heaven. It's Him wooing us by the love of God through His Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. So some people, see, you think that God is angry at you. Let me let you know, even if you think that, I'm going to give you a little nugget here. Even if you think God is angry at you, Christ, God pointed that anger to Christ on your behalf. Even if you think that, let me just let you know, Christ bore all our sins. He did. Every sin He bore. Now, does that mean we can just have a party, you know, just do whatever we want? No, it doesn't. But what it does mean is we are no longer condemned and we are no longer guilty. So therefore, what we do as a result of this is grow as the Holy Spirit shows us these things. We grow. We address them. Now, we don't turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit when He said, hey, Will, you got to work on that. Hey, Will, there's something that you need to do. Hey, Will, there's something that's going on in your life, and you need to adjust this, or you need to allow me access in this area of your life. And let me let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's ongoing, and it should be ongoing. Because as we grow, we enter into new seasons, we enter into changes, we enter into maturity, if possible, for most of us, praise God, into maturity. And as such, there's always things that God wants to do. And remember, John tells us that Jesus is divine, the Father is the vine dresser, and every branch that bears fruit is pruned that it would bear more fruit, see? And so some of this is even in the fruit-bearing process for believers. So don't think you've arrived. I remember I used to love to watch these cartoon tracks, right? I used to buy these and I would hand them out to guys. And I remember there was this self-righteous person in the cartoon and it says, yeah, I'm so glad I haven't sinned since 1987. Oh, praise God. I pray that that's none of you out there say, yeah, well, you know, I haven't sinned since 1990, you know. No, there are things that we always need to surrender and submit to the Lord. So on a personal level, the Holy Spirit will show you those things and He will convict you of those things. He won't condemn you of those things. Now, on a social level, the Holy Spirit indwelling in the believer helps the believer to convict the world of sin. Remember, because He says He's convict the world of sin, right? And what that means is they have no internal barometer, but guess what? They could see fellow believers. This is what Jesus meant when He said, don't hide your light under a bush because it doesn't provide light for the city. But when you light your light or when you have your light, go up to the top of the hill and hold it up high, position it high so people can see it. And He says, so let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice that. Now, we're not saved by good works, but when we come to Christ, He begins to disciple us by His Holy Spirit and pastors and teachers. You all know we've already covered all of that, but He begins to disciple us. And as we grow, we shine as lights in darkness. That's what we do. So on that social level, even right now, in the midst of protests, in the midst of injustice, in the midst of COVID-19, let me ask you this question. How are you shining? Oh yeah, how are you shining? We are to shine as lights. You know, I'm amazed at some of what I've seen, and some of you know, now I'm participating more in social media because our church, our website, and our church's Facebook site, and in fact, some of you may even be watching this on Facebook Live, and I want to welcome you to our sermon today. but I'm on it more. I'm not just scrolling. I mean, I have time to take care of specific things, but then I do see hatred. I see all kinds of things that are, and I'm saying, wow, where is Jesus in that? Where is the light in that? Where is God in that statement? You know, if you are a believer, let me let you know, I believe God knows your Facebook account. I believe he knows what you're tweeting. I mean, I'd put it this way. Let me just say it this way and keep going, because you can tell I'm really emotionally charged about this. Do you know that I'd encourage you to do it this way. I wouldn't tweet anything, or I wouldn't Facebook post or Instagram anything that God wouldn't approve. I would filter each one of my posts. I would say, okay, it's going to God first, then it's going out to social media. It's going to God first, then it's going to wherever I want to send it. I want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, don't get swept up in the whirlwind. See, no, let me just say this. No political party, no group of people, no specific cause, social influence, no social issue should motivate you to do what God wants you to do. You know what should motivate you? His Holy Spirit. His word and his spirit are what motivates you. That should even shape your thinking around current issues. You know, I know injustice when I see it, because God says that what I saw is injustice. And if God says it, that's what it is. Oh, glory to God. Give the Lord a hand, praise. But let me let you know, it's imperative for you to go to Scripture to see what justice is. You know what? I am all in favor of those who are standing up for justice, but I'm going to tell you, I will see a sign. I'll read a sign. I'll agree with, you know, if it's something that I agree with, I'll agree with that, but I am going to be motivated by God. I'm not going to be motivated by a sign. I'm not going to be motivated by a movement. I'm going to be motivated by God, and God will let me know how I should participate and whatever it is he wants me to participate in. Oh, I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting this. Don't let the wave motivate you. Now, it should encourage us in ways that we should see things. Absolutely. I am not saying don't agree with what you see or disagree with what's unrighteousness or unjust injustice. I'm not saying don't agree with those things. What I'm saying is your approach as a believer should be how God would use you to respond. Some people are jumping on bandwagons. Oh, I'm going to just do this. And I'm going to just do this. And you know what? If there's some good bandwagons out there and God has said, hey, this is your bandwagon, well, jump on that with full faith. But make sure that God has said, this is the bandwagon I want you to jump on. And see, I'm giving you 7 keys as to how to hear the voice of God. Some believers, I tell you, I pray that many people and many pastors, I pray that they're sharing messages like this that could help redirect people to be God-centric, that they would focus on God first and then allow him to bring about the peace that he desires occur. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, how do you know God wants to bring about peace? Well, he's the author of peace. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Seek peace and pursue it. We'll see that in just a few minutes. So peace is an attribute, a characteristic of our holy God that he likes to see here on earth. So peace, seek peace and pursue it. We'll talk about that. But I want to encourage you, make sure you are hearing from God. John chapter 3, verse 17. Some of you don't know this, but I'm going to read it to you. John chapter 3, verse 17. And this is what comes right after John 3, 16, which is the familiar passage of Scripture. Look at what John 17 says. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to do what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Everybody see that there? So for those of you who are out there throwing them condemnation bullets, those condemnation rocks, I want to encourage you, if you are a believer, you need to stop right now in Jesus' name. Because Jesus didn't even come to condemn the world. So why are you? He didn't. The world is already condemned. He came to save those that are lost. He came to save us out of that condemnation. So how do I know if I'm hearing from God? Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Number two, will I be more like Jesus? Number three, does my church family confirm it? Number four, is it consistent with how God shaped me? Number five, does it concern my responsibility? Number six, is it convicting rather than condemning? And the last one, number seven, do I sense God's peace about it? See, I was trying to hold back a little earlier when we were talking about peace. I knew I was going to get here. Do I sense God's peace about what I'm hearing him he may want me to do, or how he wants me to respond, or how he wants me to stay still, or how he wants me to listen, or how he wants me to engage with my husband, with my wife, with my children, with my family? Do I sense his peace about it? Do I sense his peace about it? See, let me let you know about God's peace. Number one, it's not circumstantial. It is not. See, many people experience peace when things are going around, when things around them are peaceable. Many people experience peace when it's peaceful around them. And so, I'll just have so much peace. Oh, well, there's nothing rocking your boat. Everybody has peace on a still pond, but let the wind come up, right? Let the rain come up and let that boat start twisting and turning and rocking and rowing. Then where is your peace? And let me just say this. See, that's the peace that the world gives. That peace is circumstantial. That's what the scripture is saying. That's circumstantial peace. That's peace that can come and peace that can go. Peace that can come, peace that can go. Look at John chapter 14. I love this. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 27. We're just going to look at one verse. John chapter 14, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking. And look at what he says. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. It's not conditional, neither is it circumstantial. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. Everybody see that there? So Jesus is saying, the peace that I give to you, I'm giving it to you because it's a byproduct, if you will, of being in relationship with me. It's nothing you earned. It's nothing that you had to work for. My peace I give to you, not as the world who says, if you pay enough, I'll give you peace. If you do enough, I'll give you peace. If everything is right, I'll give you peace. If you're in the right circles, I'll give you peace. No, this is peace that God gives us, right? And it's not circumstantial. It's not based on what's going on in our life. And let me just say this. I want to help you out. There's some people that have had peace or experienced peace, but then issues have come and you're no longer peaceful. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. Draw to God. Draw near to the Lord. Draw near to the Lord. You know, James tells us if we draw near to the Lord, that he will draw near to us. I want to encourage you, if you find yourself out of sorts, if you find yourself, your equilibrium is rocked and you have, what I have from time to time, vertigo, you're having spiritual vertigo right now. You don't know which way is up. I want to encourage you, let God be your anchor and just stop everything. Just get on your knees and begin to seek God. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Not, Lord, I have all the answers, so just be with me. No, I need you, Lord. I need you. Did you know that God's strength is perfected in weakness? Did you know that? See, when we're strong, sometimes we're in the way. Oh, I got this. I can handle this. Oh, no, don't. I got this. God, I'll call you when I really need the big guns. That's when I'll call you. No. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season, right? So here, what we want to do is we want to sense God's peace. Does what he say give you peace? If God is speaking to you, at some point in time, it will be accompanied with his peace. Sometimes it's accompanied with his peace right away, and sometimes it's accompanied with his peace when we do it. See, because God will be speaking, I don't know, Lord, are you really telling me if I'm living with somebody and we're not married, are you really telling me to move, God? I don't know. See, sometimes God is saying things that may cost. See, they may cost. They may cost maybe some friendship or relationship, or they may cost in other ways. And sometimes the obedience looks daunting, but I'll let you know, soon as you set your heart and your mind to do what God says do, His peace will come over you and you'll say, you know what? I'm okay. You know what? I can do this. You know what? God is with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? God, I thank you for showing me this, because before seeing it, before the conviction of the Holy Spirit, before I saw that, I was so locked in and I felt helpless. But I thank you for the courage and the power of your Holy Spirit to get me out of this situation. And I am going to obey. Oh, give the Lord a hand praise. I see you. I see some of you chatting out there. Keep the chats coming. You're cheering me on. Hallelujah. This might be a 3-hour sermon. I don't know. but here, it, you know, we don't want to be motivated by anything else. And when we do obey, or when we do hear from God, we do expect His peace. Let His peace come. See, He's not going to steer you in a place where He won't go. Let me let you know that. Some of you, He may be saying, do some different things. Some of you might have to move. And I'm not saying that's uniform across the board here, but see, it's individual. So there's some individual things that God may wants to do. And it may include you moving out of your comfort zone, and that's totally fine. But let me let you know that wherever you move, He is there. Wherever you go, He is there, because He's guiding, He's leading. Some of you know that's how the children of Israel, even though they were wandering in the wilderness, they weren't wandering blindly. They were led by the pillar of fire during the night and the pillar of cloud during the day that they followed. And that was representative of God's Holy Spirit leading them. See, He won't give you a vision where He won't provide or give provision. That's our God. So don't be afraid. Isaiah chapter 26. I love this, because this is another scripture that reminds me of my grandmother. It says this in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. But it's so true. It's true. Even though I'm saying it reminds me of my grandmother, this is true to us all. It says this: you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Oh, look at what the scripture says there. See, if we keep our minds, remember I was saying, let God be your anchor during these times. Let God be your focal point during this time. And as you do that, he will keep you in perfect peace, because his peace is not circumstantial. Remember that? Neither do you have to do something to gain it or to earn it. It's his peace. Oh, that's good. So, okay, I've been given peace, Pastor Will, that I hear you saying that. So what do I do? Well, let me let you know that believers are to operate in this peace. Christ gave us the peace. We learn to stay focused on God to maintain experiencing that peace, enjoying that peace. And then he wants us to operate in that peace. And I want you to turn with me to Colossians. I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures today, but I would rather tell you what God says rather than tell you what I say. Here, Colossians chapter 3. Look at it. Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 15. Look at what it says. And let the peace of God do what? Rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Everybody see that there? So rather than my emotions ruling me, which sometimes that occur. In fact, I was looking at some posts, and there these people's emotions were clearly ruling them. I'm not saying what they were saying was inappropriate, even though some was inappropriate. But what you want to do is you want to bring your emotions to the Lord. I made a short little clip for our Facebook site with regards to how I felt about what I saw. When I saw the policeman's knee on George Floyd's neck, and I saw him die right there in front of me, even that was a shock, just to see any human being die in front of you. And I voiced some thoughts on our Facebook page. I'm not saying go there. I'm just saying I voiced some thoughts, and they were just some short thoughts, but some ways we can move forward too. But you know what? I had to wait. I had to wait because I had so much emotion. I didn't know how I felt at first. When I first saw it, I was, I mean, there were so many different emotions going on in me. And I'm sure that was true of you. I want to encourage you, when that happens, would you pray? Would you begin to allow God to center you so he can best use you? You can put your best foot forward because you know that God is directing your step. For we know that the steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered by the Lord. James tells us, Peter tells us, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So I can go out there in my emotion and I can do something that God would have to repair, so to speak. I can go out there and misrepresent him. I can misrepresent my family. I can misrepresent my city or my county or my state. I mean, the list goes on and on if we are led by our emotions. Doesn't mean we don't have emotions. It just means that we bring those to the Lord so that he can temper us. He can soothe us. He can calm us and he can position us to move forward in ways that he can use us in the earth. So believers are to operate in this peace. And then I'll say believers are to extend this peace. So we operate in God's peace and we extend that peace as well. Look at what it says here. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I believe this is our last passage of scripture for today. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 8. It says this: finally, all of you be of one mind, have compassion for one another. Oh, see there? Oh, this is so good. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Oh, everybody see that there? Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Now, some people interpret this to mean, okay, you can't do anything. We just roll over and take it. No. That is not what the scripture is saying. What it's saying is, don't let somebody else's evil motivate you to do evil. Don't let somebody else's reviling motivate you to revile back. See, he's not saying you're not going to be used to bring about justice in the situation. What he's saying is, let me be your motivation and not what people do. Oh, glory to God. Get a Lord a hand praise. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So don't return evil for evil, reviling for reviling. But I'll tell you this, if you hold on to God during times like this, he will use you to bring about some justice. And it may be incremental, as it always has been. When we talk about systemic issues that have existed in our nation for years, that's gonna take time. But guess what? He will use you in the process and things will be greater later. Hallelujah. Things will become greater now, but they'll be greater later. Why? Because we are mobilized by our God. We are filled with his Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, our people are plucked the fruit of the Spirit off of us. Environments for communication has been created and sustained, and God is using us to make positive change in our country. Oh, glory to God. I just want to let you know that. So let's keep going here. Back to 1 Peter chapter 3. He says this in verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were, look, called to this. Everybody see that? This is our call, that we may inherit a blessing. And then he goes on and he quotes the psalm. He says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. And here it is here. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Oh, I pray that you got that. I pray that you got that in your spirit. See, what that means is peace is the goal. Had a conversation with some other pastors here this weekend, and one of the pastors led by saying, you know what? We should pray for peace. Pray for peace. And I fully agree that we should pray for peace. I also interjected that peace is similar to forgiveness. Forgiveness, you could say, oh, I forgive you. But I want to let you know that's a process. It's not a statement. Forgiveness is a process, and you go through this process, and the end result is forgiveness, but you've already determined in your heart to forgive. And when you've determined in your heart to forgive, then life and God are going to give you issues and circumstances to allow that forgiveness to be permeated in you. Amen. There'll be some situations that come up and you say, okay, I remember this. It could be smells. It could be sights. It could be places that you go where you were hurt and the person who hurt you or the situation that has happened and you become reminiscent of those things and that forgiveness is met out. You'll know that you've forgiven when you can see the person or have the thought of the person or the situation, and it's just a passing thought. It's like, okay, but if you're still holding on or if you're still doing some things with regards emotionally, with regards to that, then that forgiveness, it may not be matured, but you're on that path of forgiveness. Well, see, peace is like that also, especially in this particular time, because there's so many issues that have to be addressed in our country. There's so many issues that we have to start off by saying peace. Peace is the goal. You are absolutely right. But also, we must be peaceable in the process. Oh, hallelujah. Peace is the goal, but we must be peaceable during the process. You know what that means? That means having conversations with people. I'm having conversations with pastor friends in my area here and other people in my area, and they're from all different colors and faiths, and we're having some conversations. And one of the things we said, we have to be honest. Let's be honest about what we are saying so we can learn more. We can learn more about each other. We can learn more about each other's issues. We can learn more about each other's situations. We can learn more about each other's mindset. We can learn more about each other's biases. Oh, they do exist, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that's another sermon. But we can even learn about those, and we can even learn how those biases and opinions were shaped in us if we take the time to talk with one another. And I think it's time to talk. How many of you agree with that? It's time to talk. In our nation, it is time to have some discussions. And let me say this for all of you who are Impact members, and I know we have some guests on here today. I want to encourage you, have good conversations that lead to good outcome. Don't vent. You know, sometimes I see in some circles where an issue is addressed or talked about, and then there's a panel of speakers. Sometimes you just get caught up in one panel speaker will say, this is the issue, and everybody agree. And then another one say, yeah, that is the issue, along with, and then another issue, and then, and along with, and before you know it, I'm exhausted because it seems just hopeless because there's so many different issues. But you know what? It is not hopeless because we serve God. And because we serve the God of the Bible, because we serve the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, we have a lively hope. And see, you bring hope to the situation. You do. You being a believer begins to bring hope to whatever conversations you are having. Why? Because you are allowing the Holy Spirit to move on your heart in those dialogue or in that dialogue that you're having. It's not necessarily you speaking everything. It's the Holy Spirit tempering what you are saying. And as he tempers what you say, you are his vessel and he's making connection with other people that you're talking to. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are to extend that peace. Seek peace and pursue it. That's our end result, ladies and gentlemen, especially for what's going on in our nation today. This is not a Band-Aid sermon. This is not a quick fix. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but I'll tell you, we have to start from the right place. See, if you start from the right place, then you just build on that. If you start from the wrong place, you have to start over. And I would rather take my time and build than build quickly with superficial statements and superficial ideologies and then have to rebuild later on. No. See, God, if we really want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, guess who he's going to use in part to make that happen? He's going to use you. He's going to use me. He's going to use believers that are filled with his spirit for such a time as this. It's our time as believers to stand up for righteousness' sake. Remember that? Not to judge, not to penalize, not to condemn, not to do those things, but to stand. We call right, right. We call wrong, wrong. We stand for right. We stand for righteousness' sake. We stand for justice because God's throne is established by righteousness and justice. We stand for those things, ladies and gentlemen, but we're not hating. We're not condemning people. We're not judging people. What we're doing is we're shining as lights. And I'll tell you this, I want to be the best light I can be for the Lord. I was just thinking about this recently. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then I started getting some phone calls from some other folks that needed to talk. Even just, this is Sunday. Shelter in place could do a whammy on your sense of time, can't it? But this is Sunday. And just last night, Saturday, and we're live, we do this live. Just last night, Saturday, another pastor called me and he just needed to talk. And I'm saying, okay, God, I'm gonna just respond to your call. I'm gonna respond in ways that you want me to respond. I'm not gonna like go out and seek something, even though that's not wrong. It's just that, okay, God, I wanna be sensitive to where you are, how you wanna use me during this time. And I'm learning that it's really concerning some pastors here. And I'm so thankful for that. It's concerning leaders in our community. I'm so thankful for that. It's concerning the members of our church. I'm so thankful for that. It's concerning friends and families of members of our church. I'm so thankful for that. Let me ask you this. How is God using you, or are you positioned for him to use you? So the question becomes, are you hearing from God? Are you hearing from God? His voice is going to be supported by Scripture. It is. The end result will be you will be made more like Christ. Your church family will agree with it or pray with you on that, right? And God's voice will be wherever he shaped you. He's given you what's necessary to fulfill. It'll be an area where God has given you some responsibility. The Holy Spirit will convict, but never condemn. And lastly, you will sense God's peace. I pray that there was something that was said in this message that has encouraged you and even mobilized you to look deeper into your walk with God and deeper into where you are in society today. You know, when I think of Scripture, I think God's word. I don't think man's word. I think God's word. And as such, I find so much that I'm learning even now in my 60 years of existence on the earth. I'm learning so much about people through God's word. And it's opened me to people because I see it in his word. And what you'll discover is his word can eliminate biases. His word can eliminate stereotypes. His word can eliminate discrimination as we act on what we're seeing and as we act on what we're hearing. Because see, with God, it's not a matter of race. It's a matter of humanity. Christ died for the world, for all humans, that we would be able to, for those that believe in him, would be able to have eternal life with the Father. So it's not about what we make it, even though, but let me say this. However, because of sin and because of other things in our society, yeah, some things are about race. Unfortunately, some things are about gender. Some things are about color. Some things are about ethnicity. Some things are about socioeconomic level. You hear what I'm saying? See, the culture highlights those things. The Bible shows us how to navigate those things through the filter of God's word, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so good, Lord. And you've given us a word in season that we would be able to operate accordingly, that we would be able to move accordingly, Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us, not discouraging us, but encouraging us and lifting us up in this message during such a sensitive time, during such a critical time, a time where people are angry. They are justifiably angry. There are some that are fearful. There's some that are confused. There are others that are conflicted. Lord, this is a sensitive time, and I pray that you have used me in this regard to be as sensitive as I possibly could to communicate your perspective of our lives. I pray for the person that says, you know, Pastor Will, I am hopeless, or my hope has waned and I'm just holding on by a thread. I want to pray with you. If that be you, I know you're just my heart bears witness with you that there's some of you out there that you say, I've been so inundated with all of what's going on. Is there any hope? Yes. Hope in the Lord, the psalmist says. Hope in the Lord. And then he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, the Lord is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Remember that? He is our buckler and he is our shield. So I want to encourage you, draw near to God and let his peace begin to comfort your heart again. That comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, or with God through Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. I want to give you an opportunity. Some of you say, well, Pastor Will, you know, I've never officially like asked Jesus to come into my heart or like submitted myself to God. What do I do? Well, if you're at that place where you're ready to do that, just say yes. Yes, I'm ready. I want to submit to the Lord. And I'm going to just lead you in a prayer that helps you to do that. Or just, it really confirms what your heart is already doing. So pray with me if that's your case. You want to surrender to the Lord and let him begin to lead your life. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, doing things my way. I believe that you died, you were buried, and God raised you from the dead for me. I believe that you are the sacrifice for me. Now come into my life. Just empower me with your spirit. I believe that you have a plan for my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I pray that for those of you who have prayed that prayer, that you would connect with us. You can go to our website if you want. Leave a note that you've prayed that prayer, and we'd like to make some information available to you. And then there's others. You say, Pastor Will, I'm a believer, but man, I've been kind of blown out of the water with this. My emotions have been all over the map. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for us being able to bring our emotions to you today, Lord. For you are our God. And Lord, forgive us if we've had a rant, or we've had a venting session, or whatever we've done, Lord, that kind of unsettles us, Lord. We don't want to be unsettled, but we want to operate in your peace. And so I pray, Lord, that you will forgive us of anything that we may have done that would be counterproductive to that peace, counteractive to that peace. And now we rest in you again. Lord, shape us, mold us, make us what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We're making